We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Governor, your budget includes a proposal to try to spark economic development by refinancing some general obligation debt and using that money for different initiatives. How do you respond to people who say it's not a good idea to refinance debt for this kind of purpose?
I respond in a few ways. Right now, interest rates are at a historic low. It would really be unfortunate if we miss this opportunity to take advantage of that. The portion of debt that we are proposing to restructure, we're currently paying almost 5% interest rate, and we believe we can restructure it to pay something like 2.5%. So we ought to do it. And then on top of that, as I've said so many times, the only way forward for Rhode Island is to stimulate this economy and create economic growth. This is a creative way in the face of a $200 million deficit to find some upfront capital to make smart investments that will spark our comeback.
We see how some other states are investing very heavily in their public universities. So I'd like to ask you whether you think your economic development initiatives are enough money to really make a difference. For example, you propose funding a school building authority with $20 million. That seems like it won't really go that far in school building construction. So are your economic development initiatives funded at a level to make a real impact?
Yes, they are. Now, of course, you always want more money. And this budget is designed to improve the economy, create more jobs, have more revenue. But you have to remember, the School Building Authority, for example, it's not just $20 million this year. Budget actually has closer to $90 million to put into school buildings. And the $20 million is going to seed an ongoing perpetual revolving loan fund. It's exactly how you should be using a one-time shot of capital, which is to set up a self-sustaining fund over time. Do I wish we had more money? Absolutely. But it's more than enough to start rebuilding some of these schools, especially in Providence, Pawtucket, Central Falls. We're sending kids to schools and buildings where the roof is caving in. So let's get to work. Let's get people to work and let's protect our kids.
Let's go to Scott.
Is it really smart economic development to put a baseball stadium at Route 195 land? I mean, look at that and you say you're moving jobs that are seasonal jobs, basically, you know, slinging cocktails and pumping beer and selling popcorn, minimum wage jobs. You're moving them 6 miles from Pawtucket to Providence. And I talked to some people in Providence. For 30 years, we've looked at this property. And I just wonder, is that the best and highest use of an area that we're trying to brand as the Knowledge District?
You know, it's an excellent question. And the answer is it depends on the details. And I haven't seen yet a proposal. It seems like staying in Pawtucket isn't an option. The new owners have said they're leaving Pawtucket. And I do want to keep the Pawsox in Rhode Island. It's a Rhode Island institution. You know, I'm optimistic that there's a deal to be done, which is good for the taxpayers of Rhode Island. Having said that, I am strongly of the view that we need to use the vast majority of that 195 land to set Rhode Island on a path of a more innovative economy. This is a real chance to form a foundation of our economy in advanced industries, to finally bring together colleges and universities with industry to start creating jobs.
What level of public subsidy would you be willing to support for a Pawsox ballpark in Providence? Where is the dividing line between where the deal makes sense and does not make sense?
That's an impossible question to answer because it all depends on how the deal is structured. You know, is it going to be used as a catalyst to bring in other commercial development? You got to look at the deal in its totality. So let's see what they have in mind, and then we'll take a hard look at it.
Would you acknowledge that it was a mistake to say what you did about the legislature and their leaders when you were in Washington at the National Governors Conference? I mean, these are the same people who helped you get your pension overhaul. And you basically accused them of being people who do things in the dark of night, who are bad folks and can't be trusted.
You know, that isn't what I said, and I certainly regret that it was taken out of context, but I have worked very hard with the General Assembly since I've been governor to work in partnership with them.
Right, but why would you go out of state and make those kind of comments?
You know, you're right. You know, it was probably ill-advised, but these are the facts. The facts are we're working together, and we're all on the same page. All on the same page of we got to work together to get Rhode Island back to work, and I think the reality is the Senate President, the Speaker, and I, we know people are depending on us like they've never depended on us before to get together on the same page and solve problems, and that's what we're doing.
So you apologize to the Speaker and
Yes.
are moving in the right direction.
Things are absolutely moving in the right direction. We've spent an awful lot of time together.
One of your big initiatives is to try and reinvent Medicaid in Rhode Island, and that's important because it consumes a lot of tax dollars. When you unveiled Elizabeth Roberts as Health and Human Services Secretary, you said you wanted her to control costs while avoiding pain. Is that really feasible to think that a program like this can be reinvented and spending severely curtailed without hurting people?
Yes. Without hurting people, absolutely. In fact, I think we can have a more efficient healthcare system, eliminating waste, eliminating fraud, eliminating misuse of healthcare facilities, keeping people at home with the right level of services instead of putting them in a nursing home. So, yes. Now, do I think it's going to be incredibly difficult and cause us to change and cause hospitals and nursing homes to rethink their business models? Absolutely.
One of your predecessors, Governor Carcheri, had this Medicaid waiver that was intended to cut spending in the same kind of way. Why will your effort be more successful than that one?
Well, first of all, you learn from the mistakes of the past. Second of all, this administration, I've already had very productive conversations with Secretary Burwell of HHS. They're willing to work with us to be creative, to provide potentially federal financing if we are innovative. You know, the reality is every state in the country is struggling with this. You know, Rhode Island's not alone. It's a third to 40% of our state budget. It's growing. Our population is aging. So we have to try to tackle the problem.
Aren't things a little more difficult here in a state where we are number one in the country in the percentage of fragile elderly folks, 85 and above? They get Alzheimer's, they get dementia. It's really very difficult to keep those folks in their homes.
You're exactly right. But here's what I do know. Right now, Rhode Island has the second highest in the country Medicaid payment per enrollee. We're 60% higher than the national average.
And most of that's the elderly, I take it.
Yes, exactly. The elderly, and the disabled. But this is on a per enrollee basis. So I don't accept that 48 other states can be doing a better job than we are.
You've said that you support restoring the State Ethics Commission's oversight of the General Assembly, but there seems to be a real impasse with the legislature not having much interest in pursuing this. When will you use the bully pulpit of your office to push for this restored oversight of the Ethics Commission?
You know, I talk about it regularly. As I've said so many times, obviously the Gordon Fox situation is a tragic situation, which is yet again a stain on our reputation. But the problem in that instance, there were laws. There were ethics laws, there were campaign finance laws, and there were laws on the books that were broken. So my general view is, look, if we can find ways such as what you're talking about to improve ethics or transparency, we should do it. But what we really need to do is elect honest people who are willing, who are going to play within the rules. And also, back to your point, Scott, I firmly believe the best way to restore people's faith in government is to show them we can work together and solve problems.
We're almost out of time here, but you've been in office for a little bit under 3 months. Who would you say your three most trusted advisors within government are right now?
Oh, that's a hard question. I would say, you know, all of my cabinet. You know, certainly I spend a lot of time with Stephen Pryor and Elizabeth Roberts, Scott Jensen, DLT. You know, I feel great about the cabinet that I've put in place. They're pretty overworked at the moment, but everyone I have attracted to government could be doing many of the things, but the thing we share in common is we believe in public service and we're committed to Rhode Island's comeback, and I'm so grateful for all their hard work.
Do you see yourself running for a second term?
I don't know. I see myself working as hard as possible now to get Rhode Island on a path of economic prosperity.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Thank you.